The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Happy Friday indeed. 11 minutes after 6, 770-563-3770-KMED. Yep, you can get to the coast again. It could take some time. That was reopened a number of hours ago. 199 going out to the coast there. It's reopened, and they ended up dynamiting the hill, try to bring down more of that stuff. I know my boss, George, who goes out to the coast frequently, was saying that section, which ended up having the slide, was kind of watching that for a number of years, wondering when it was going to come down. Well, it ended up coming down a day and a half or so ago, and everything's going to be okay. But if you're headed out to the coast, plan for those one lane at a time kind of going through those areas. And so just understand it's going to take you more time to get out there, but at least you can get out there. Weather, though, is supposed to be getting a little dicier this weekend, rain and snow. We'll talk with Mr. Outdoors about that about an hour from now. And we also got a lot of other great people we're going to be talking to. Rick Manning joins me for the Outdoor Report. Not the Outdoor Report. I'm sorry, DC Swamp Update. We'll have that. And also the Outdoor Report. Also going to talk with Jack Cashel. Democrats are just bending over backwards to grant all sorts of favors to the man who shot and killed Ashley Babbitt. Innocent woman in the White House. You know, this, or in the, you know, in Congress. This is over at January 6th, revisiting January 6th. Why are they doing this? Even promotions. He was granted privileges even with the Internal Revenue Service. It's like, boy, this guy's been kind of a bird kept in a gilded cage of some sort. Really, really odd. I'm going to talk with Jack Cashel about that. Jack Cashel puts the conspiracy into conspiracy theory because he just brings the facts with it. Great reporter and wonderful author. And of course, he's written a lot about January 6th. We'll talk with him a little bit later this morning, around 7:30 or so, after the Outdoor Report. And Robin McKenzie is a landscape designer. She got in touch with me because we've been having these conversations the last few days about the monarch butterflies and Jeff Merkley, Senator Jeff Merkley, with his little butterfly net, running around. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with wanting to make sure that the monarch butterflies, these migratory butterflies, are taken care of. My concern has always been that the Merck will do what every other leftist does. There will be a one-size-fits-all. There will be a lockup. There will be a destruction of anybody doing anything reasonable, any kind of activity that might be around a monarch butterfly. In other words, they kill the patient under the guise of saving the disease, or, I don't know, under the guise of killing the disease, you kill the patient. You know, that's kind of the way Democrats tend to work. And also writing hot checks to left-wing environmental groups posing as nonprofit groups. Okay, that's kind of the way it works. We all know how that game is played. Now, anyway, Robin, though, teaches classes on how to actually take care of the monarchs. And I don't know. I don't understand. Why do you have to worry about the, putting it on a threatened species if you could just talk with people like Robin McKenzie and others that have these classes and will teach people how to build the kind of landscape that will take care of monarchs naturally? And you don't need a federal program to do it. You could actually just go out and just encourage it. And, hey, this is what we could do. Hey, maybe if you're a farmer and you got some problems with glyphosate killing milkweed around your farm field, maybe you could plant some milkweed in an area, and you make sure you don't spray the weed killer. Okay, you're gonna spray the Roundup on the wheat you might be growing, but maybe you avoid putting it on the milkweed over here, so that way that the monarchs are taken care of. But anyway, we'll talk with her about this. And you know how much I know about growing plants? Absolutely nothing. I kill everything. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, I'd love to round up the entire yard if I could just get away with it. Yes, I know. Roundup's not good. I actually use this other chemical to kill the stuff. It's like an ammonium salt of some sort that the Home Improvement and the other places sell. You can even use it on organic crops because it's not persistent. It just makes the plant bleed to death. Essentially, all the water goes out of the plant. Some ammonium salt. It's absolutely safe. That's what I use. But sometimes I just like to round up the world. I'd like to round up all the grass and never have to mow. Okay. All right, some of the other news this morning. No surprise, Dylan McLeod, life in prison, 2021 murder of Aaron Stitt. Remember that one? Aaron Stitt, it was a juror. It was a robbery, really brutal robbery. And District Attorney Beth Heckert addressing Judge Barnack yesterday, asking for $12,000 restitution that McLeod and his co-defendants must pay for the funeral expenses of Aaron Stitt. I don't know how they're going to pay that in prison. Needless to say, they've been given that. 46 blunt force injuries. Wow. Claw hammer. Just beat this guy to death. Poor Aaron Stitt, right? And all three of them, all three are now serving life sentences. So we have that story. KOBI 5 reporting that there was a teenager arrested. Of course, teenager meaning 18-year-old in this case. Medford hit and run. Pedestrian ends up being sent to the hospital. This is down by RCC the other morning. 18-year-old Shane Gavaza, failing to stop at a marked crosswalk with warning lights, hit a 31-year-old man who was in the crosswalk. Fortunately, a lot of other people stopped, helped the pedestrian. Gavaza did not. Reports indicating he briefly stopped after the accident but drove away. He's in trouble. They'll be taking care of him. And there was a lot of conversation about, well, most of the people stopped. They do a pretty good job of stopping at the crosswalk. And thank goodness the 31-year-old is going to be okay. Non-life-threatening injuries. That's good. Transported to the hospital is going to be okay. It is interesting, though. I was watching KOBI News, and they were talking to people about how the crosswalks are being treated here in downtown Medford and how most people stop, but it's not that much of a problem. Some people drive really fast, though. Yeah, they've been. By the way, this is in the middle of that 20-mile-per-hour zone, I guess. The one thing I still have noticed, and pedestrian crosswalks really end up giving you a false sense of security. That's just the bottom line. I know in the neighborhood where I live in, East Medford, Northeast Medford, off of Delta Waters, I'm almost near Foothill. I'm about maybe a quarter of a mile away from where Foothill is. So I'm on that far end of the Delta Waters Expressway, the Speedway, as I like to call it, because there's a lot of speeding, you know, that goes on in there. They're putting one of those flashy, lighty kind of pedestrian crosswalks down the street from me, too. You know, you hit the buttons and everything's going, you know, and putting on the strobes and all this and that and the other. Doesn't help the fact that, and all the flashy lights don't really stop all the cars. And pedestrians, I still see this behavior all the time. Pedestrians, especially in Southern Oregon, especially around the colleges. I don't know if it's something connected with the colleges or these people have been inculcated. You know, well, there's a crosswalk and there's flashing lights here. And it's almost as if there's a magic shield between the 3-ton car or truck and the pedestrian. It's not the way it is in the real world, unfortunately. I wish it were. The worst place I've seen for just absolutely arrogant pedestrians at Southern Oregon University, some of the worst. You know, it doesn't matter. You could be doing about 15 miles an hour. They'll just step out. They're just assuming you're going to slam the brake on in time. In time to not, get them over your hood. That sort of thing. Happens all the time. You see it. Just absolutely amazing. And the pedestrian with the earbuds in, listening and texting as they just automatically walk across the street. Now, the state of Oregon's policy, of course, is to get the flashy lights and the strobes and the beep, 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 boom, and hey, we got to have pedestrian stings and all this this other sort of stuff. But there seems to be very little talk about pedestrians. Can you actually pay attention when you cross? I think that would save a lot of trouble, a lot of pain and suffering. And by the way, I'm not saying that's what happened with this 31-year-old. He could have been just out there and everybody else was stopping and the Gavaza kid just ends up mowing through it. I don't know how that works. But I've seen it happen too often. There needs to be more of a shared responsibility and all of the responsibility at this point is, well, you know, if the car doesn't stop because of the magic lights going on, well, it's always the car's fault no matter. I get it. The advantage of the weight. I'm just talking about the real way of keeping the kids safe. You know, we keep the kids safe. We say, well, we'll put the flashy lights in the beep, 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 little notes, and the little sirens go off, the klaxons go off, you know, all that kind of stuff. And yet the surveys are pretty darn clear when you look around the world about the safest pedestrians. And you know who the safest pedestrians are? Not the ones that are using the crosswalks with the klaxons and the little flashy strobe lights and the me, stop, stop, stop. No, it's not those intersections at all. It's the people who jaywalk and cross at the unauthorized areas. Not that I am advocating that you cross at the unauthorized areas, but you are way more likely to be struck and killed in your official crosswalks because people have a false sense of security crossing in the official crosswalks. When they're not crossing in the official crosswalks, they're being careful. They know that there's nothing out there trying to protect them or nothing. Nobody's really going to be looking out for them. And so they look and they're watching. And they turn off the iPhone and pull out the earbuds as they're crossing the street. They're looking before they do the cross. I see the people on the Delta Water Speedway, you know, by my home, when they're just crossing the road to get to the mailbox on the other side. I see it all the time. They're not doing it in a crosswalk. And so they're looking and they're looking and they're really careful when they do it. They're paying attention. It's human nature. So sometimes there's a part of me that thinks maybe we'd be better off just not even having the crosswalks and just say, watch out. But then you would get to that situation like where when I was visiting in Ohio a number of weeks ago, that if you really want to get killed within a week or so, just try crossing in a pedestrian crosswalk in Ohio, because there they're just absolutely ridiculously unfriendly to pedestrians. A little bit of balance might be needed in something like this. What do you say? This is the Bill Myers Show on KMED.
Everyone deserves a fast and reliable connection, one that helps better their everyday through the things they value most: friends and family, education and career. A connection that opens pathways to opportunity and builds roads to a better future. At Spectrum, we're committed to delivering just that every single day. Because with the right connection, anything is possible. That's Life Unlimited. That's Spectrum.
When you call Fontana Roofing, our singular focus is a focus. You have questions, we have answers.
Hello, you've reached Fontana Roofing. How may I help you? Yes, we install a plethora of roofs, traditional, composite, metal, tile, shake, you name it. All types of buildings, whether it's a re-roof or new construction. Yeah, we can fabricate and install custom gutters and install gutter covers. Absolutely. If you have buildings that require metal siding and flashing, we do that too. Decks? No, that's not in our wheelhouse. Concrete? No, that's beyond our scope. Fencing? No, we just stick with what we're good at. Sales department? No, we don't have one. But we do have an owner who provides all of our competitive, meticulous quotes. Yes, I'll have him call you right away.
Your name and number? At Fontana Roofing, we don't do everything, but what we do well. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
As a business owner, you likely do a lot of driving around town, so turn your business vehicle into an attention-getting rolling billboard. The Wash Buggy Wrap Lab brands and restyles cars, pickups, vans, even big rigs with durable vinyl to present your business logo and info in a professional, contemporary design that's guaranteed to make a bold statement. The Wash Buggy Wrap Lab is your source for paint protection film, window tint, and vinyl wrap for your personal vehicle, too. Get your design suggestion today. Visit WashBuggyAutoSpa.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa with Pacific Survey Supply, and I'm on KMED.
What a pleasure having you here this morning, 24 minutes after 6. By the way, you'll be happy to know the firefighters are going to be paid. Oregon lawmakers yesterday approving $218 million to cover amazingly huge wildfire paying bills that the state had not paid since July, August, when they were doing the work out there. The bill passed the Senate, 2 no votes. Senator Brian Boquist, he voted no. Senator Dennis Linthicum, he voted no. James Heap voted no. And Paul Holvey, a Democrat from Eugene, voting no. Huh. I want to see if I can call up Dennis and see if he can explain what was his thinking on that, because I would agree, but I'm curious what kind of reasoning was given here. Never can tell. We were talking about the pedestrian crosswalks. They're not nearly as safe as we think. And of course, what the solution to the state of Oregon is to put more klaxons and flashy, buzzy lights everywhere. They're doing it on Delta Water Speedway by me. When it really comes down to it, the stats are pretty clear. People paying attention get them across the crosswalk, not the flashing lights. That's just the way it goes. But paying attention with people having a cell phone in their hand and the earbuds plugged in their head, they're not paying as much attention. I'll even see the kids walking home from school. And yep, the little kids that are going to the elementary school, about half of them had the cell phone out and they're texting as they're walking up and down with their 50-pound backpack over their back. I remember those tender days when we had lockers, but I guess terrorism, right? All right, let me go to Francine. Hey, Francine, how you doing? You want to talk about the pedestrian crosswalks too? Go ahead.
Well, yeah, actually, this is not a pedestrian crosswalk per se, but it was a corner. I was in Ashland on B Street getting ready to turn right onto Oak, and I stopped. There were no cars coming. I looked. There was nobody, no pedestrians about to cross. And as I started to go, all of a sudden, two young teen boys just flashed right across in front of my car, and I had to slam on my brakes really hard. They were on skateboards.
Oh, skateboard.
And so
yeah.
They had been up the block, I guess, and they must have seen me stopped and assumed that it was going to be fine or whatever, you know. And I didn't – they were not there when I looked. And all of a sudden they were – you know how fast a skateboard goes. So that was a really close call. Now, I did – as I drove, when I turned right, they were going in that same direction. I pulled up and honked at them, and they stopped, and I rolled down my window, and I said, you know, guys, you know, you came really close to getting hit by me. And they were very nice boys, and it was very refreshing, actually, that they were very nice. And I said, oh, gosh, you know, thank you, we're sorry, that kind of thing. But that's just another thing to watch out for.
Yeah. And there is something about the way the culture is in Oregon, because we tend to approach it from we put up enough warning signs and then people will be able to cross safely. That really doesn't stop a car and someone who's an idiot like the person who was arrested, the alleged idiot who was arrested in downtown Medford. You know, ultimately, it is shared. And I still see way too many pedestrians. And I try not to be one of them like that, because I got mowed. I almost got hit downtown a number of years ago by some guy on a motorized skateboard. You know, you see those every now and then.
Oh,
you don't
you
don't see as many of them as they used to, because now they have all the bums are given electric bikes, or they steal them someplace. I don't know, but whatever it is. But that is and so it's our job also to look as we're crossing and look where it's coming from. You know, that kind of thing. And there doesn't seem to be enough emphasis on that side, frankly.
Well, you know, Bill, there's something that people that in our society, I think, that we've kind of lost, and that's the natural instinct to really be aware of our surroundings, because we're so used to having everything all, you know, it's all set up for us.
Well, there's a crosswalk here. There's white paint on this street that will protect me. I wish it could, but you know, and 99% of the time, it does. All right, people see the crosswalk, we get it, and we slow down. But it astounds me how many pedestrians just walk and just walk out like this is my magic shield as I go. And it's a problem. I'm not saying that's what happened in Medford over at RCC the other day, but it happens a lot still. Okay.
And another problem, too, besides the cell phones, like you mentioned, the earbuds, you know. I mean, you can't hear what's going on. When I walk my dog, I don't put anything in my ears. I don't listen to anything. I just walk my dog and listen to what's going on around me, so I can hear when the cars are coming.
You know what? Well, let's think about the issues with now. We've always talked about how women are prey in our society. We know that just because
right.
of the
There's
size,
that too.
Just the way it is. Young women walking around doing their jogging with earbuds in, completely oblivious to what goes on behind them. You're just asking for the next pervert to grab you, and you won't even hear it coming. Just saying, okay?
Well, that has a lot to do with we are so used to having this constant input, you know, either being entertained or you know, there's got to be something for us to look at. We can't just be with ourselves, and that's kind of a sad thing, and it would be really nice if we could learn to just let go a little bit. And
well, if we end up getting the big EMP or something like that, we'll be able to be by ourselves a lot, okay? Big meteor, big Carrington event or something like that. All the electronics die, and then people will look at one another. What? I have to talk to other people? Wait a minute. I can't do that. Let me go to Gene. Not so crazy, Gene. How you doing this morning, Gene? Welcome to Friday.
Well, I'm doing just wonderful. I was thinking along the lines while you were talking here. Passing the other buck. You're passing the right you have to live and survive to the government. And you know how well they do that job.
Well, it's all right. The government will be out there. You're at the tender mercies of the government. They will be happy to put up a electronic crosswalk for you that will magically protect you from all harm unless someone ignores the klaxons and the blinky lights, okay?
Yeah, I started a driving motorcycle. And I found out when you're driving a motorcycle, the best thing to do is to quit the throttle as far as it would go and get the hell out of the way.
The other thing, though, is it, as a motorcyclist, you know what that was like. You figure that you're invisible, don't you?
Well, it was invisible. I thought it kind of neat, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'm saying, though, is that when it comes to the ability of cars to be able to, or drivers to be able to see you, a lot of times motorcyclists, small and things, most motorcyclists have to really operate under the assumption that people don't see them until they really know that they see you. All right. Appreciate the call there, Gene. I'll go to a three here. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hey, Bill. Good morning. It's Deplorable Patrick.
DP, you're a trucker. You probably see a lot of stupidity, don't you?
Well, yeah, I see it all every day. Stuff that we haven't covered with regarding crosswalk, I see it over here near where I often operate, and I didn't want to get into that too far, but mm-hmm. people are really bozos at the wheel. And but as far as this crosswalk thing, pedestrian thing, I have been wanting to talk to an MPD officer to get square on what the law is or the responsibility, and you brought it up. Maybe you can answer my question mm-hmm. regarding what happened to me and dang near happened to a guy on a bicycle. Now, I think a bicycle is considered a pedestrian, right?
No, it's considered a vehicle according to state law, from what I recall.
Well,
it has the same rights and privileges as a car or truck on the streets, but it also has the same responsibilities when it's on that.
Well, that's interesting to know. Now, let me describe what happened. I'm coming out of the parking lot at Natural Grocers, and I'm planning to turn right onto, which is the only way you could go, and turn right onto the highway.
Mm-hmm.
Planning to turn right. So I'm looking to the left, waiting for traffic to clear. And a lot of the time, you're going to be waiting for a little while. I'm sure I looked to my right before looking to my left, and there was nothing, nobody coming.
But you're looking for the most part to the left because that's the movement of traffic, right? Moving from your left to the right. Okay, I get it. I understand.
That I have to deal with. I'm looking to the left. So, and I've been looking to the left for, I don't know, a good, 20, 30 seconds, whatever. And I got a... Pretty soon the traffic cleared, and I went, and I just happened out of the corner of my eye see to the right. And here's this guy coming on a bicycle on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I had cat-like reflexes because I hit the brakes, and he was, eyes big as fried eggs.
In other words, you have a guy going fast on a bicycle in the sidewalk, not on the road. So he wasn't on the road. Just want to be clear about that, right? Now, they can go on the road. They can't go on the bike on the sidewalk. If I recall the regulations correctly on this one, they don't have as many rights. They don't have the rights of a vehicle when they're on the sidewalk. Okay. That's the way. Right. There is a difference. I'm explaining this inelegantly. I'll have to go look it up at the DMV, I think, to get the full deal.
That we both should, but you're correct. He was on the sidewalk, and I'll tell you, that's the closest that you could possibly come without being hit. I don't think he even had an inch between my grill and his bicycle, and he's thinking I'm at fault. And my question is this. Does he have any duty to
not be stupid? To not be stupid? I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Let me look it up. I'll get back to you next hour. I'll do it during the break. Okay?
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Yeah. Does he have a duty to not be stupid? This is Oregon. No, you don't have a duty to not be stupid in reality. But I'll actually try to find out what the statutes are on that. And if there's law enforcement that can help me out quickly, just let me know. That'd be great, too.
Matt here with an urgent message from the Josephine County Republican Party. Similar to what President Trump experienced, politically motivated citizens are using lawfare and misinformation in an attempt to recall Commissioner John West, one of our most fiscally conservative commissioners of all time. Win or lose, this misguided recall will waste 60,000 of our hard-earned taxpayer dollars. When you receive your recall ballot, vote no on this political attack and drop it at the county courthouse, the Republican Party headquarters, or as a last resort in the mail. Your action is urgently needed. If those opposed do not submit ballots, one of our most effective commissioners will be recalled. Stop the John West derangement syndrome. The Josephine County Republican Party urges you to counter this injustice by voting no and turning in your ballot by December 17th. Thank you. Paid for by Josephine County Republican Central Committee, PAC 319.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. The Oregon legislature met in a special session Thursday to pay $218 million in bills from the summer's record wildfire season. Senator Fred Girard, who lost his home to a wildfire, says the state needs to increase its ability to fight wildfires.
It really hurts that fire is such a low priority in this state that we can't even afford to pay the contractors, you know, that we hired to fight fires.
Republicans say changes are needed to the Endangered Species Act to allow for more forest harvesting to reduce fuels. Overdose deaths in Oregon increased 32% last year. The Oregon Health Authority reports 1,833 people died from overdoses of drugs. 53% involved an opioid and stimulant. All long-term care facilities in Oregon will be able to get COVID-19 and flu vaccines if they want them. The Oregon Department of Human Services expanded the subsidized vaccine program because of a decline in vaccine rates at facilities. Bill London, KMED.
Johnson Builders is the leading authority of pole building construction in Southern Oregon and Northern California for over 20 years. Save on shops, garages, barns, and covered riding arenas during their winter sale going on now. For commercial, industrial, or residential, they have you covered with the biggest sale of the year. Visit Johnson.Builders or check them out on Instagram at Johnson Builders Corp. For ideas on your project, financing available.
Johnson Builders, building for your future.
As 2025 approaches, Dusty's Transmissions extends heartfelt gratitude to their loyal customers. This year wouldn't have been the same without your trust in keeping your vehicles running smoothly. Your support has been the driving force behind their continued success. Wishing you and your loved ones a joyous holiday season and a new year filled with happiness, safety, and success. Here's to many more miles together in 2025. Happy holidays from Dusty's Transmissions.
Attention, Jackson County property owners. Get peace of mind with the new Property Recording Alert Service from your Jackson County Clerk's Office. This free service sends you same-day email alerts whenever documents are recorded in your name so you can monitor your property records easily. It's fast, secure, and easy to register. Visit jacksoncountyor.gov/recorder and sign up today. Don't wait. Stay informed with same-day recording notifications.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. You're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
And a very cold East Coast.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights because I don't want to see. Mama told me let's come.
Yes, the D.C. swamp. The water's frozen this morning, isn't that right? Still that way, Rick?
Yeah, it's a little cold. Yeah, it's a little cold here.
Okay. Yeah, Rick Manning's president. Okay. Rick Manning's president of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. Every Friday we like to get together. We got one more D.C. swamp update after today. And then, man, it's the Christmas break from the D.C. swamp, and then we'll do it again once we return then for 2025. But Now, you and I were just talking off air, and I was mentioning to you that Senator Jeff Merkley, not that we're going to make the D.C. Swamp update about Merck, but the Swamper Merkley is happy because the monarch butterfly has been declared a threatened species. Feds have done that. They made the announcement just a day or two ago. And my concern has always been that this ends up just being a blunt force trauma instrument that is just wielded against the people and especially businesses and any kind of development or whatever it is like that. And I guess you say that this essentially will cede control of the West Coast, the entire West Coast, to the federal government in some way. How does that work out? How do we do that?
Well, when they declare something a threatened species, and you guys are well aware of this, with the northern spotted owl, where it was declared a threatened species, and suddenly all the forests were taken off limits in Oregon and Washington. But what happens is they take the fly away. You have to take the fly away of the monarch butterfly. It isn't a static insect. It is in fact has a fly away. Its fly away goes from Mexico. And I know it goes from Mexico. So, and you know it ends up in Medford and beyond. So given that, if you have to protect the habitat, then effectively you have to stop development, any new development, and begin to take down existing development along that flyway if you're going to protect that threatened species. When you look at the development that's in that little flyway, adjacent to the Los Angeles International Airport is a monarch butterfly preserve.
I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah, a few acres off of Sepulveda that's kept in its supposed natural state. I don't know if it really is. But you drive by and it says monarch butterfly preserve.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that. Fine. It helps them out.
No, nothing wrong with that. But you know what? That means monarch butterflies are there, and they're in Medford. You know what's in between there and Medford? LAX. Okay? So all those monarch butterflies that are commuting north fly through LAX. They fly through lots of airports. Airports are, by design or nature, are kind of bad for butterflies.
Yeah. You suck up. Not many monarch butterflies are going to make it if they get sucked in by a jet turbine. Okay,
they're not making it across the runways at LAX.
Right.
And so I don't know what the practical effect of this is, but if we take the history of how the federal government treats threatened species, at first they start out with this kind of a benign approach. Nothing changes, but in a few years, they will begin to. Every single development, every single time you try to use your property, it will be shoved through the U.S. Forest, Fish, and Wildlife Service to determine whether or not it has an adverse impact on the monarch butterfly. And since it's flyway, they can show up any time since you're in the flyway. Everything you do will be judged based on whether or not you're affecting the monarch butterfly.
Okay, now let me ask. I don't know if this is a good question or not, but I'm going to float it by you anyway. Because, like I said, you have worked within the D.C. swamp, and I think you understand how the regulatory apparatchiks work here. Would you be better off if you found monarch butterflies on your land to destroy them and get rid of them? Because otherwise, they'll be a anchor on you.
Well, I would say that.
I'm not advocating this. Don't understand. I'm just talking about the way it really works. Okay.
Let me give you. If it were a land animal that didn't have already known a migratory pattern, you might be better off in that instance. Just not tell anybody you found it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Shoot, shovel, shut up. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. That was the phrase I thought of, but I wasn't inclined to use it.
I said it for you.
Okay, thanks. But in terms of something with a known flyway, it becomes a real problem. Texas had a problem with some birds. This is 25 years ago, I'm remembering, where there was a certain kind of tree that was suitable for a certain kind of bird, and the bird was, in fact, threatened, according to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So what people in Texas did is they killed all the trees that were suitable for the bird. That was in that. That was the effect, because that's how you survive. If you're a landowner, is you don't create an environment that is suitable for said threatened animal, because once you become declared habitat, you're dead.
It would seem to me maybe the whole idea of the way the Endangered Species Act operates then needs to be changed around, because it just seems to me that if we wanted to protect the monarch butterflies, instead of killing everybody that may have had some influence on the habitat, just encourage people to put up landscape that likes the monarch butterfly. It actually helps them.
I think they eat like buckwheat.
They like milkweed too. Milkweed's a big one out here.
So if you sit there and you were, we're not going well beyond my knowledge of the monarch butterfly.
I get it.
But I will just say, yes, that is it would be a far more sane policy to do that. And let me tell you the kind of scam some of the environmental groups do. They sit there and they create a devaluation of the property of people who live in the said habitat. And then make it so that people have to sell because they can't use the land.
Oh, then the World Wildlife Grift ends up buying it up, right?
Then they come in, and then they plant that stuff.
Got it.
Okay,
yeah.
But first they destroy the value of your land so they can get it cheap.
So that's what our butterfly net waving U.S. senator is all excited about. That must be why he's really excited about it. It's not about the monarchs. It is about the ability to destroy some more people's property rights, probably. I'm hoping it's not what he's all about. We'll see.
Well, more than likely, it's the excitement will be the ability to take coastal property all up and down the coast and put it under into a conservatory control, whether it's federal or a nature conservancy kind of thing.
All right. Well, we have been warned now. Okay. Thank you very much. All right. We didn't want to make it all about tiptoeing through the monarch butterfly thing with Jeff Merkley. Okay.
Tiptoeing through the milkweed.
Yeah. Tiptoe through the milkweed. Yeah, we get it. Rick, let us switch it over to the transition team at this point. And before we get into the main meat here on the transition with Trump into the Trump administration here. Carrie Lake running the Voice of America? I didn't know we still had Voice of America. And I've actually listened to shortwave radio for a long, long time. Is that just kind of a bone paying her off there for just being a good Trump player all those years? What do you think?
Well, no.
No?
Voice of America is alive and well, still funded by us, even though its original purpose is long over.
Yeah, it was a Cold War, kind of a Cold War thing,
right.
Really. You know, we have the Russians and the Chinese doing propaganda. We're doing propaganda back on the radio, right? Boom, right back at it.
One of the big battles in the first Trump administration was trying to get a guy named Michael Pack, who's conservative producer of movies, getting him into Voice of America. Mm-hmm. The left fought it tooth and nail. It took us 2.5 years to get him in there. He finally got in there in the fourth year of Trump. He wasn't appointed until late in the first year. And then he attempted to actually make the Voice of America support America.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a good thing.
And he got sued by the employees. He ended up in a big employee battle about whether or not he could do anything. He could actually change people out of there. The people who had infested the organization over the years could be moved out. There's a massive fight. He lost in court, and we ended. And the left defended the Voice of America like it was food stamps.
Well, essentially, though, Voice of America then is another plaything of the intellectual left. It is the international shortwave broadcast version of PBS, right? Isn't that it?
No, it's worse than that.
Worse than that.
That's so kind. That's worse than that, man. PBS people in America see and hear. So there's some minor constraint on them from being totally crazy. This is what we're broadcasting to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And what we broadcast to the left of the world is basically your rainbow flag waving.
Why your Muslim community agenda. Should be in helping with gender affirming care for transgenders,
So imagine, everywhere, most of the third world countries completely reject what we've embraced in terms of the transing and the rest.
Yeah.
So we, as a show, as our means of going and trying to liberate them, are, basically have turned many of those broadcast organizations, the couple, the Shove Voice of Europe, stuff, all of those things. They are, they've been turned into nothing more than cultural propaganda machines. And truthfully, obviously the standard left-wing socialist/communist rhetoric also.
Okay.
And they don't bear any resemblance at all.
So it's kind of a global homo operation of some sort. I've heard it kind of turned that way.
Yes, they fight like crazy to maintain it because the left gives up no power. Getting Carrie Lake, who is a broadcaster by profession,
yes,
into Voice of America is going to be one of the massive fights because the left controls that communication machine. And I've argued for a long time that communication machine has outlived its purpose and we need to just eliminate it.
Yeah, I would just kill it with Doge. Just do that.
And if Doge had the power to do anything, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, they kill it with Doge, but they don't have any power. So it's a, and Donald Trump can't just wave a wand because then you have to get it out of the appropriations bills and effectively say we're zeroing it out. So anyway, that's a big fight we're going to have. We're going to have so many big fights like that is pretty unimaginable, and they're going to try to make it about Carrie Lake, election denier, and the like. And what it's really about is trying to preserve a bastion of far-left government communications that they control and which has absolutely no use to the United States of America.
Hmm. All right. Now I understand it's not just a political bone to help her out then.
No, this is a fight. This is a fight that's worth having because we, if that's going to exist, it's got to reflect. It's got to actually be a voice of America,
voice of the real America, not the voice of Harvard. In other words, the Harvard
right.
and the
exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They've got enough voices. They've graduated enough idiots and sent around the country that they have enough voices. The people, America actually needs to have a voice in the world.
All right, because Linda and I were asking, we're talking to each other. Boy, Carrie Lake at Voice of America, is this a good thing or not? And it is a good thing. Thank you very much for setting me straight on that. Now then, I will switch to what I think is going to be the biggest fight of all. Okay, as far as the funding bills for next year, okay, you get a couple of chances.
Right.
There's the whole thing about the border. And then, of course, there's the budgeting, and then there's the tax cuts there. Can you get it all into one bill? Is it possible with this slim majority at this point? You've been talking about how the Congress is going to have to go big because, even if it means that the Republicans lose in the midterms, coming up in 2026, because you get one bite of this apple. Do you only get one bite of the apple to get all three of these various issues done in Congress? What do you think?
Actually, I just wrote on this. It's supposed to publish in Daily Caller today. I'll see if it does.
Okay.
I believe that they do get one bite of the apple. They technically could get three bites of the Budget Reconciliation Act apple. That technically they could do that.
And what does budget reconciliation mean for people? They haven't really kept up on that. What does that all mean?
You pass a budget, and then you can pass with a simple majority in the Senate, so you don't need to deal with a filibuster. You can pass a revision to that budget one time. So you say, okay, we've passed the budget, now we're going to revise it to reflect, to have policy, make policy choice changes that reflect in the budget. We tried to do Obamacare through budget reconciliation.
John McCain killed that. Yeah.
And, well, it was partially killed. We didn't get to do all of Obamacare. Couldn't just defund it because the Senate parliamentarian ruled that a significant amount of Obamacare was not budget. It was policy, and hence you couldn't adjust it. So it has to fit within a budgetary impact that's measurable. Okay, so that's one. That's a limiter. The Democrats passed the Inflation Reduction Act using the Budget Reduction Act or the Budget Reconciliation Act.
Which is amazing because it was a huge, huge spending. as we well know.
Huge spending bill, but if you manipulate enough, and CBO is pliant, and Congressional Budget Office is pliant enough, you can get it done. So here's what can be done: tax bills can be done.
Okay.
You can do anything that, if you can show enough of a budget impact, you can do virtually anything in terms of cutting. So you could, in fact, say, we want to eliminate 10% of the federal employees because it's a $40 billion year savings, and that means it's $400 billion over 10 years. And they figure out everything over 10 years, okay? Because a 10-year temporary fix until is the way it's considered. So what they can do is they can do any tax thing. They have to figure out how to offset the tax, any tax cuts, on the other side with spending, and because it has to be budget neutral. So that's why if you go in and you say, I want to do taxes on tips and taxes on overtime, get rid of that, and I want to
stop taxes on Social Security benefits, that right. kind of thing, right?
Well, they can't do the Social Security benefits is harder because they're kind of walled off, but
okay.
they might be able to do that. I'm not sure. There's some technicalities in
there. That's all right. Set that aside then. But please continue.
But yeah, you can extend the Trump tax cuts. You can do whatever you want to do in those regards. But you also can go in and do things like, we're going to cut a certain percentage of federal employees, positions. You can say, there's a budgetary impact. Every illegal alien that comes across our border,
yep.
there's a budgetary impact to it. Consequently, we have if the parliamentarian lets you, and if the Senate makes it clear to the parliamentarian that they better let you, otherwise they'll just overrule the parliamentarian, they will have you can do all sorts of things in there. And my proposition is this: the House of Representatives doesn't have to worry about a parliamentarian telling what they can do and can't do. So what the House of Representatives, even with a three-vote margin, depending on when people leave to go into the administration, they have to put as big of a bill as possible. And they have to put as big of a bill as they can get passed, because with a 220 to 215 majority, which is what they have when everybody's there, there is a likelihood that there's going to be deaths. There's going to be a likelihood that there's going to be people who get sick and can't be there. There's going to be a likelihood of all sorts of things that can happen, which on both sides. But if you got that slim of a majority, any of that happens to you, it makes it that much more difficult to pass anything. And so a second bite of the apple in next October, November, of a budget reconciliation where you don't need 51 senators is very, very difficult to plan on, because unknown, sidebar circumstances can change everything. And that gets you into And they're that much closer to election day.
Yeah, and once you get into re-election season, nothing big normally happens. That's just reality.
And with a 220-215 majority, election season in the House starts on January 3, 2025. So my point is, the Democrats, they got Obamacare done and it cost them control of the House.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Bill Clinton passed a massive tax increase using the same process during his term, 1993, I guess is when he did it. It cost him control of the House in 1994. The Democrats have consistently been willing to do big things that they want to do, knowing that it has a likelihood of costing them control of the House. They've been willing to do so because they're more intent on doing big things than holding power, them individuals holding power. They're willing to sacrifice.
They're willing to really move the ball, in other words, even if it means
if they, if it's, If it's worth it.
If it stops them from going to the Rose Bowl, all right, but they've still won. They've won the long game. No. The Democrats have been good at playing the long ball game, is what you're telling me. And the Republicans have been all about, well, I've wanted to be a congressman all my life, and it took me forever to get here, you know, that kind of thing. And
that's pretty much it. Republicans, Democrats are collective. Republicans are individual.
Yeah.
That's a simplistic way of putting it, but it's much harder for individuals to come together and sacrifice for the collective than it is for the collective to sacrifice for the collective.
Got it.
Okay, because...
All right, so Speaker Johnson is really going to be having to whip this in shape, because you're saying you really have one chance to really get this in, just one chance. And you got to get it all in that bill, right?
Donald Trump will never be more powerful than he is on January 20, 2025. Never more powerful than that.
Okay.
So you need to get it as close to January 2025 and get as much done as you can. And I say as you can. I don't know how he gets 218 votes out of when he's only got 220, or he's only got 200. You know, how he gets majority votes when, if everybody goes into the administration, they're scheduled to. He's literally going to have a 216 to 215 majority.
Wow, that's nothing.
So, that's one vote. That's one person. And just on a personal anecdote, I lost the repeal of the semi-auto ban in New Jersey. Because I had to get 2/3, and I had one of my votes got Lyme disease. When I had the votes lined up in the Senate side,
oh no kidding,
she got Lyme disease, and I couldn't get her out of the hospital. And I offered to send an ambulance. I did everything I could to try to get her out of the hospital, and she couldn't. And the doctors wouldn't let her leave, because if she left, they were going to cancel her insurance. So she comes back. We vote in the House, get the bill, get my repeal passed. But I lost the vote in the Senate, and we were going to lose in the Senate. And the Senate Majority Leader, who decided that he wasn't going to have one of his senators stand out like a sore thumb because it would end their career, so he got everybody to vote against it and just kill it.
Okay.
And all because of one person. So that's how tenuous, when you are depending on one vote. Good friends, person who I'm still friends with to this day, was unable to get there to vote, and because of the delay, I lost. And the people of New Jersey lost.
And that's why, though, it is important in this congressional battle, though, you do put all of it into this first bill,
never assume a second opportunity.
Because no matter how good Trump is, it's the honeymoon, and the power leaks away, and the battles start, and the court battles end up starting happening after that later on. And no matter what you do, there's going to be a bit more of a death of a thousand cuts in some ways coming later on. Would that be a fair way of putting it?
Yes. And the assumption that you're ever going to get the Democrats to help you on anything is a false one. So you have to, if you're going to get, once again, it's simple math. If you had a 245, majority, and you had, say, a 50-60 vote majority, you would be in a position to take your time.
Mm-hmm.
They're not in a position to take their time. They have to be in a hurry, because if they don't do everything they think they can do now, they're going to end up having a very, very disappointing legislative session, and it will be, and everything that Trump wants to do will be defined by the power of his pen, which means the next guy can change it.
That's right. And we're looking for legislation to change things, not executive orders. Got it. All right.
Yeah. Well, basically, we're looking to follow the Constitution.
Rick Manning, president of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. And read the article that Rick has been talking about. He writes on this particular issue on Daily Caller. Is where you're going to have that up coming up today, apparently, right?
Supposed to be.
All right.
Supposed to be.
I'll take a look. Hey, Rick, great weekend. Okay. We'll catch you next Friday. Thanks again.
You too.
Bye. This is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass Town Hall News in a flash here.
Looking for durable and custom fit metal roofing? Stephen Westfall Roofing.